All I wanted was a little Limp Bizkit today, and you refused to indulge me in my Limp Bizkit desire. What the hell, Landry?
We got the Limp Bizkit song in the story.
You know what we were just talking about during the break? Paul Gallant and I were talking about wresting away a website domain from somebody. Like, paulgallant.com is apparently a site for alcoholics.
I think it's a site for rehabilitation from addiction, yes.
Yeah, probably not many sites are like, hey, this is for alcoholics. It's like, it's almost always for rehabilitation
alcoholics
of alcoholism.
Here.
It's not like the Alcoholics Club or anything. Like, in SethPayne.com is owned by this brilliant, like, this dude that went to Yale Divinity School, but then got his MBA at Harvard or something, and he's into, like, deep economic. I think he's a pretty successful guy who doesn't need, like, $200 for SethPayne.com, so I've never bothered to get it from him. But I did wonder, Seth Payne is a relatively unique name. There aren't a whole lot of Seth Paynes out there. What, Michael, in the course of our show, we've identified, 10 to 20 Seth Paynes around the country?
Right around there.
I wonder, I have a very small amount of celebrity. Like, I'm a local, kind of local celebrity. But I feel like, does every Seth Payne in America likely know who I am? I think they have to, right? Like, every Seth Payne in America knows, like, it's some. Yeah, they definitely do.
That's
me?
That's a good take.
Of course they have, because everybody's Googled themselves at least once.
So they'll know.
And, like, I'm going to pop up. Like, I pop up pretty predominantly. It's me and the Mormon dude, the Yale Divinity student, who pop up most prominently. And then Seth Payne, the football player, who we haven't talked to in a while. I feel like I'm a major celebrity among people named Seth Payne. Like, I feel like I've got 100% market penetration of people named Seth Payne.
People also search for Gary Walker, Aaron Glenn, Jamie Sharper, Steve McKinney, and Kylie Wong.
Right. No, Wong, definitely. Like, every damn Kylie Wong, if there is another one,
because
people always, Kylie gets this a lot. Kylie gets the, kind of people trying to work around, like, what are you anyway? Because his name's Wong, but Kylie's dad was African American, I believe, adopted by a Filipino family, I think. It's something. Kylie, next time we have Kylie on, we'll go through it. But it's funny to hear Kylie talk about, like, how people, like, the roundabout way people try to get what the hell are you?
it's interesting when you Google yourself. I think there's a Paul Gallant that invented the 3D puzzle. I'm not 100% sure on this, but if that's the number one Paul Gallant, then that's great. And then there's the guy that has the website, which redirects to another website for addiction and all that.
Yeah.
I think that most Paul Gallants are Canadian.
Oh, that's okay. Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Mike Meltzer? How many Mike Meltzers are there?
Most of them spell it with a Z. That's the big
suckers.
Distinction.
What a bunch of clowns.
I actually accidentally emailed this Mike Meltzer, who has his email account set up in a way where the name is in a different order than your name. And I remember I sent him a bunch of emails, and I was like, why aren't you responding, Mike? They're like, oh, I sent it to the wrong guy.
Why are you not responding to my, like, to this other guy? Like, yeah, this random Chandler Parsons take.
Mike Lombardi.
Why is this guy so angry about Chandler Parsons? It's weird.
Mike Lombardi is one of our favorites to listen to because he has a lot of interesting opinions, whether they are completely wrong or not. Here's what he said about the Texans situation on the Ringer NFL show this week.
We've seen this in the Houston Texans with Bill O'Brien. He has tried in all his power to make the Houston Texans into the Patriots offensively. It hasn't worked. He's even brought Brian Hoyer down there, Ryan Mount. Even expatriate quarterbacks can't do what Brady does. It's the same thing with Garoppolo took over for Brady. People don't understand. They ran a lot of different things that Garoppolo does well.
And look, he wasn't saying that as an anti-Bill O'Brien thing. I think this year he's very much approved of the way he's changed the offense for Deshaun Watson. But it felt good for me to hear that from Lombardi, because Lombardi has basically attached himself to Bill Belichick his entire career. Michael Lombardi has, and knows the ins and outs of the New England Patriots very well, and knows exactly, Michael Lombardi knows exactly what the guys in New England think of what Bill O'Brien's been doing. I would say that's safe to say.
Okay.
And I think it's the same thing a lot of us have felt. It's that he's been trying to replicate something that really is only achievable with Tom Brady as your quarterback. Now, up until this year. And I don't know how much it affected what they did on the field, because all those quarterbacks, like Bill O'Brien, had to come to the conclusion that, all right, this guy can only do so many things, so we're going to do what this guy can work with. Where it really affected everybody was in the offseason, I think, and in how they pursued players. Because you wasted a whole lot of time trying to find guys who maybe could run that system that maybe only Tom Brady truly can run. Where this year now, He's got Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson wouldn't have been the perfect guy that you thought might end up being a Tom Brady type player, but he can do a whole lot of things that Tom Brady can't do. And I think sometimes that's what people forget. I hate it when people are like, well, Cam Newton couldn't run Tom Brady's offense. Great. You know what? Tom Brady couldn't run Cam Newton's offense, you know? Like, it's just, it almost has nothing to do with each other. Different quarterbacks have different skills. I think Bill O'Brien finally grew as a coach this year out of necessity because he simply has to really incorporate Deshaun Watson's strengths, and it's not just a stopgap thing where, hey, we've got Cam, we've got Case Keenum for a couple games, so we're going to try to simplify and do some things Case Keenum done. I think he finally realizes, all right, wow, there's a whole new world that's open to me, and we can build a unique offense off of this that doesn't have to look like New England's offense.
And it's tough to grow as an offense if your quarterback is being told not to turn the football over, number one, and
that
number two, if you're trying to have a team that's going to ultimately win by running the football, which is what the Texans were in their best examples of what Bill O'Brien wanted his offense to be over the last 3 years going into this year. It was one of those, they would always win games where they were running the football 40 times for almost 200 yards. Like that was the formula for winning. So that's what's changed. And it is interesting. I mean, of all the quarterbacks that they have had, and O'Brien talks about not wanting to turn the ball over a lot, Watson is by far the one who is most likely to throw.
He's the scariest.
Oh, yeah. He's the scariest. You know who's disappeared?
But he's got that magical thing where he can make up for it. I mean, it's like Andrew Luck is going to throw some interceptions, but man, he can make up for it.
You know who's totally disappeared in the last month? I predicted every single play call they had in that game, guy. That guy has totally disappeared.
As
the Texans score over 30 points in four straight games, the guy who says he can predict every next play has been missing.
Speaking of which, can we pull the curtain back a little bit now and reveal this? Because Landry has noticed this as well. It's like, okay, when you watch the highlight reel, yeah, Tony Romo is calling out every single play accurately the whole time. When you watch an actual Tony Romo game, look, he whiffs a lot. Like, he's not getting it right. And sometimes he even whiffs on the replay. There was that one the other, last week where he's like, well, you're going to see a hell of a block by LeGarrette Blount.
What? Le'Veon Bell.
Le'Veon Bell here. And then you watch the replay and like, Le'Veon Bell ain't blocking nobody. What the hell are you talking about?
I think with Romo and guessing plays, this is probably not unbelievable analysis. I think he probably has to dial it back just because, like, you will be wrong as time goes along.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be fun to do like in spots, but he can't do it like as consistently as he has been the first month.
And then I guess part of it that bothers me is that I think Rich Gannon could have done the exact same thing that Tony Romo was doing. Like it's a parlor trick in a little bit, but like the smarter ex-quarterback guys and a lot of the ex-players that are really like a lot of those guys could do what Romo was doing. And it's impressive. It's impressive for all of them, but Romo's not the only guy that sees the game that way.
Oh yeah, 100%. And it's the new guy. That's why. Yeah. I mean,
I do enjoy him though.
Yeah, I enjoy him a lot.
I think a lot of people enjoy it. I'm surprised by how many people do not like the predicting plays thing. And I understand, like, when he's wrong, that would bother me if he says, oh, this is going to happen and it doesn't happen.
It bothered me as a Cowboys fan. Because then I'm thinking like, oh, well, here you go. All right, yeah, listen, Joe Confident when it comes to calling a plays out. Like, maybe that's why you threw so many stupid picks.
Against the Giants, what the hell?
All right, just to finish up the question real quick.
He's better.
I think that Watson is very good or has been so far in dynamic, but I think O'Brien has grown as a coach. I think he's done a nice job building the offense around Deshaun. Paul, you are on tomorrow night because we have Chiefs and Raiders tonight.
Right. I am actually in the loop with Fred Davis Cody and for John on Friday. And yeah, we will have a Sports Radio 610 watch party this time at Ted Johnson's house for the Raiders and the Chiefs.
Ted's
be fun.
House. That's exciting.
I didn't make it to that
one. We get to park valet.
Maybe I should go. All right. Okay.
I'm gonna be
I went
careful
last
about
week.
Where I sit.
Yeah, my place. I mean, yeah, you guys can't go, but whatever. You know,
I went to your place.
That's true.
All right. So tomorrow we'll check in with Paul because he'll be on in the loop with our friend Fred Davis. Okay. 9:30 this morning, we have Bill O'Brien mic'd up on Deshaun Watson at 9:30. 9:15, part three of our extended conversation with Mike and Laurel D'Antoni. His perspective 5 months afterwards on what happened in Game 6 against San Antonio. Screw him on the way. Who and what are you angry at today? I imagine the Astros bats will come to mind. 713-572-4610.